For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In the 16th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew, Jesus issued a new beatitude. This time, not blessed are the poor in spirit, or blessed are the peacemakers, but a beatitude for St. Peter. Peter had just answered Jesus that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And for that answer, he received the words, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father in heaven." And we have to listen closely to the nature of that beatitude. "Blessed art thou, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father in heaven." St. Peter received the message from God, and not because someone whispered it to him or because he had sufficient proof, evidence enough for him to believe. And then Jesus would go on to say after this, speaking of the flesh and the spirit, "I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Talk about flesh and spirit. The apostles, well, this apostle, St. Peter, and two chapters later, the other apostles as well, in Matthew chapter 18, would have given to them authority over the ongoing relationship between the flesh and the spirit, between this world and the kingdom of God, the power to bind and the power to loose on earth and in heaven. And knowing the apostles and their successors, one may rightly say to Jesus, "Are you sure you want to do that? Do you know Peter? I'm sure you do. Have you heard the full story on Matthew? I mean, where he came from? Do you think James is ready for something like this?" But Jesus knew exactly to whom he was speaking and unto whom he gave this, his ministry. "Blessed art thou, for truth is revealed to you by my Father." And somehow we too must be like this, like St. Peter in this way, and take as truth that which is revealed by the Father, not simply what flesh and blood can sufficiently discern and prove. But moments after this beatitude is issued, Jesus begins then to speak freely to his disciples about the fate that was soon to befall him. Verse 21 reads, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem, and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day." That message was not received well, and especially St. Peter. He was having none of it. And Peter, you could imagine, thought he was in a good position to reject this idea of Christ submitting to such suffering. After all, he was blessed for his discernment moments before. Jesus, speaking of his imminent passion and crucifixion, finds then that St. Peter, whom he just praised for not having the things of the flesh and blood in mind, but that of the Father, now rebukes Peter for having not the things of God, but the things of man in mind. It's a quick turnaround. And St. Peter, who had just been blessed and promised the keys of the kingdom of heaven, receives a stinging rebuke for telling Jesus that the Son of God now would never suffer and die at the hands of elders and chief priests and scribes. You can imagine St. Peter saying, "Correction." And then the frightful words come to Peter from our Lord, "Get behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense to me. Thou hast not the things of God in mind, but the things of man." Swiftly and forcefully, Jesus makes his point. St. Peter, the apostles, the followers of Christ, and the church as a whole had better get straight in their own hearts just whether they are going to be led by the flesh or by the Spirit, whether they're going to have first in their minds the things of God or the things of man, because according to Jesus, it makes a big difference. You may be blessed in the moment you discern and obey his will in your mind, and then cursed in the moment that you scramble away from his will to protect yourself. St. Peter experienced these extremes moments apart. And it was not because Jesus is just all over the place, but rather because St. Peter was all over the place. Where are we? Not only Jesus, St. Peter, and St. Matthew have something to say here, but also St. Paul. Writing to the Romans had quite a bit to say about the striking difference between the flesh and the spirit. In the passage that we've heard today, we hear him preach in the same stark terms as Jesus to the Romans, saying, "If ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, that is, kill them, ye shall live." St. Paul says, if you live after the flesh, that is, hold your sensual self in highest regard and give your sensuality everything you want and acquiesce to every fleshly notion, including every whim, every anxiety, every fear, every pressure, you will die. But if you kill the deeds of the flesh, mortify them, and cooperate with the Holy Spirit in a work to reduce and eliminate their power over you, you will live. It's a paradox. Stated succinctly, in order to live by the Spirit, you must die to the flesh. After rebuking St. Peter, Jesus spelled it out. The next verse, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." The message of St. Paul to the Romans comes right from our Lord, actually. They're saying the exact same thing. If you want to live, you'll have to be willing to die. When Jesus went to the cross, he had the things of God in mind and not the things of man, clearly. He had the Spirit in mind and not the flesh. He had asked in Gethsemane if there was any other way, but then acquiesced, saying, "Nevertheless, not my will but thine be done," to the Father. He had taught this truth verbally to men who had not really understood it, including St. Peter, who did not want to understand it, including St. Peter, who were still hoping that following Christ would bring them immediately earthly comfort and glory, including St. Peter. But when Jesus went to his passion, when he set out to suffer, what they had been taught and reluctantly received was going to be walked out before them. And this was more than hearing now. This was seeing Jesus do what he taught. And the response of these men who were to be led by the Spirit and not by the flesh, when they saw this suffering Christ showing them the way, St. Mark reports in his Gospel, chapter 14, "And they all forsook him and fled." Mark should know. He fled so fast he left his tunic behind. And St. Peter denied Jesus 3 times before he had even noticed what he had done. Others were simply nowhere to be found. At the sight of Christ actually taking up his cross, Jesus' followers ran for the hills, revealing that they had not really understood. And women cried their eyes out in despair, revealing that they had not understood. And when he was crucified, he spoke some of the most important words ever spoken for those who do not understand. "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." How true. For calling Jesus Christ the Son of God, St. Peter had received a beatitude all his own. "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven." For Simon was correct about who Jesus was and is, but he was shocked and terrified to see what Christ would do when hatred for him manifested in club and sword and whip and thorn and cross. And then after the resurrection, Jesus issued another beatitude, this time a beatitude not for St. Peter, but for us, who also believe Jesus to be the Christ, the Son of God. As such, we follow in St. Peter's steps. Speaking to Thomas and the other disciples, he spoke of us. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Blessed are those who believe that Jesus is the Christ, as St. Peter did, and that he was crucified, and that he rose again. Blessed are those who believe, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it, but the Father in heaven. Blessed are those who believe, and our hearts are warmed. We have not seen, and yet we believe. We receive the blessing that St. Peter received. We are blessed because flesh and blood hath not revealed it to us, but the Father who is in heaven. But follow the story of St. Peter to the next step. What will be said to us when suffering comes? Can it be said of us that we on faith are also willing to take up our own crosses and follow Christ even into suffering because we also believe the hope of the resurrection to be utterly true? Or shall we, seeing this, lay down our crosses and run back to a locked upper room, weep bitterly about the sufferings of the flesh, and be done with this gospel? Will we drop the cross and receive Christ's rebuke? Get behind me, Satan, for thou hast not the things of God in mind, but the things of man. Shall we drop this gospel of passion and wait instead for some other good news, perhaps better news? Or will we take as the true gospel all of the good news of Christ and his cross, that death in Christ leads to life in Christ forevermore, that we are, as St. Paul writes, the children of God, and if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together? That's the gospel too. There is a chance that we will begin in our own time to see that to remain in Christ means to bear a greater burden than before and to take on a heavier cross. May we not take the name of Christian and call the cross good news and yet prefer the good news of safety and comfort alone. May we first of all believe the gospel of Christ as St. Peter, and then may we not forsake him and flee when we find out what that means for us. May we soon learn what the apostles learned as they watched our Lord and took up their own crosses and followed him. May we be willing to suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.